Flint, Michigan. How did a simple flip of a switch lead to a long-term public health crisis that tested the resilience of its residents? In this Science of Crime podcast series, we examine the chain of events that led to years of damage, distrust, and dirty water. My name is Lydia Burke, and this is episode number 14, Lead in the Water, Corruption in the Government. Now, the events I'm about to discuss are a result of one thing: government corruption. The intentional suppression of information about the Flint water crisis was not the responsibility of just one department within the Michigan government, but rather a joint effort spanning multiple agencies. Those involved included the Department of Environmental Quality, or the DEQ, the Department of Health and Human Services, even the state epidemiologist. When the Office of Drinking Water and Municipal Assistance failed to require Flint to utilize corrosion controls in the water taken from the Flint River, it showed just how far the state government was willing to go to conceal its wrongdoings. When this cover-up was exposed, it was clear that Michigan officials' goal all along had not been the protection of Flint residents, but the protection of their own reputations. In this episode, I will be interviewing Kathleen Schneiders, a lawyer at the Chicago Office of the Environmental Protection Agency, to get her take on the crisis and how this extensive cover-up was exposed by federal agencies. Michigan officials' first line of defense in concealing the Flint water crisis was their ability to doctor data. When it was revealed that the water in Flint contained lead, officials chose to test houses that were unlikely to have lead pipes. This was deliberately done to lower reported averages of lead in the water. Officials also tested water in erratic geographic patterns, choosing clusters where lead levels were known to be low. This quote from the New York Times explains how this clustered testing was conducted. 8 of the 71 homes tested in 2015 were on the same block of Flushing Road. A relatively new water main on the street reduced the chances that the homes would test for high levels of lead, according to the American Civil Liberties Union. Additionally, testing was done using pre-flushing. This involved residents running the water for a few minutes before a sample was taken to artificially reduce rates of contamination. In reports, officials even lied about certain homes having lead pipes, claiming they did when they didn't. This can be seen in a data set published by the New York Times, where it can be noted that several houses on Flushing Road that were reported to have lead pipes did not in fact have them, as the water mains on that street had been recently replaced. This was an egregious form of data falsification. As a result, average lead levels in the area were on record as much lower than they were in reality. This directly endangered the lives of Flint's residents. The first person I'm going to talk about in connection to this cover-up is Leanne Schechter-Smith, one of the higher-ranking officials charged in this case. She was the only official to lose her job as a result of the fallout of the Flint water crisis. She was even charged with both misconduct in office and willful neglect of duty in court. Schechter-Smith was the chief of the State Office of Drinking Water and Municipal Assistance at the Department of Environmental Quality. She was accused of various forms of misconduct, including ignoring reports that the water processing plant was not in compliance with official standards, lying that the plant was certified, as well as lying to her superiors at the Department of Environmental Quality. Additionally, she was even accused by Leanne Waters, a mother from Flint, of bragging about silencing an EPA employee who leaked a 2015 memo about rising lead levels in Flint's water. Adam Rosenthal, who worked under the direction of Leanne Schechter-Smith at the Department of Environmental Quality, was also charged in connection with this case. Rosenthal was a water regulator at the DEQ, a lower-level employee who was responsible for analyzing the water quality in Flint. He was accused by prosecutors of doctoring reports about lead levels in Flint's water, making the levels appear much lower than they were in reality. He was charged with misconduct in office, willful neglect of duty, tampering with evidence, and conspiracy. These charges constitute 2 felonies and 2 high court misdemeanors. The next person I'm going to bring up is the Michigan State epidemiologist, Corinne Miller. She was responsible for failing to report to the public hundreds of cases of Legionnaire's disease. This is a potentially fatal respiratory illness that has had devastating effects on public health in Flint. More than a dozen people died from an outbreak caused by contaminated water in 2014 and 2015. Miller then went on to instruct others not to take action on the initial report about this. This conscious decision to conceal vital health data is a direct violation of her job responsibilities at the Michigan Health Department, as well as of her moral responsibility to the people she was charged with protecting. Her actions go beyond a mere failure to report data. They constitute a conscious cover-up of the dire health situation in Flint. The last two people I'm going to bring up in this episode are Nancy Peeler and Robert Scott. Peeler and Scott were both employees of the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services at the time of the cover-up. Nancy Peeler was the early childhood health section manager at the DHHS, and Robert Scott was a data analyst. Together, the pair was charged with creating a doctored report that intentionally covered up a spike in elevated blood levels in children. Now, you may be wondering how all of these heinous acts of conspiracy and fraud were brought to the attention of the public. How could all of these people hide such a major health concern from the public for so long? The man responsible for discovering the truth behind this elaborate cover-up is a man named Miguel del Toro, an employee of the EPA. He was the initial whistleblower on the Flint cover-up. He spotted the fact that the data being sent from the city wasn't adding up. Here is Kathleen Schneiders to speak on this revelation.
I believe it was actually someone within EPA who was who was the whistleblower in the sense that he raised the flag to say, like, the data we're getting does not make sense and we need to do something about that. And when that was not getting responded to, and I can't say if people were going to get to it at some point and just didn't, or I don't want to like impute motive to people that I don't know. But then he wrote a letter that said, this is a problem because. And like, I don't really understand the chemistry of it in depth, but you know, you sort of look at the various inputs and like it doesn't sync up. And so then you're like, something is wrong here. What's wrong? And when everyone says, my data is good, my data is good, my data is good, then you're like, okay, someone's not telling the truth here. And that's basically how we got to the bottom of it, was like the pieces didn't fit together in terms of the chemistry. Yeah.
Del Toro testified against several high-level officials in court, including Leanne Schechter-Smith of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. This testimony, where he proclaimed, was Flint in violation when they turned on their water treatment plant in 2014 and not having a corrosion control treatment in place? Yes. Was damning. Kathleen Schneiders explains why.
Oh boy. If it's required by a permit and you fail to do it, then it's absolutely a violation of EPA standards. In an older city with lead pipes where that's important, then that's a necessary way to protect public health.
So, what happened to all of these people who were charged in connection with the cover-up? The sad truth is, many of them have escaped the scandal relatively unscathed. Despite the compelling testimony of Del Toro and the plethora of evidence stacked against them, the majority of the key players I've mentioned in this case were barely given a slap on the wrist in court. Shockingly enough, Nancy Peeler and Robert Scott were allowed to return to their initial positions at the Department of Health and Human Services in 2019. Their charges were then dismissed by the court. Leanne Schechter-Smith also had her case dismissed as a reward for cooperating with the prosecution. Corinne Miller received only probation for her role in the crisis, despite causing irreversible damage to the lives of Flint residents by failing to report the outbreak of Legionella. Adam Rosenthal took a plea deal in exchange for cooperating with the prosecution, and his charges were later dismissed as well. It can be disheartening to see all of these public servants rewarded with plea deals after contributing to the cover-up of one of the worst health crises in our nation's recent history. One would hope that after all the damage that they caused and the lives that were lost because of their deceitful actions, that they would face appropriate consequences. Hopefully, with the court receiving their pleas in exchange for cooperating with the prosecution, people higher up in the government would be brought to justice. Until that happens, the people of Flint must live daily with the burden of this malicious cover-up, wondering what their lives might have been like if the government had taken action when it realized something was amiss.